Mads.
Yeah, welcome back.
Thanks, man. How are you doing?
Good, good.
So last time we were here, we talked about
this stuff. Await.
Await.
Yes.
And you guys are releasing your second CTP. What's going on?
Well, so the original motivation for releasing a second CTP was pretty mundane and boring, which is that the first one doesn't work with Visual Studio SP1. So okay. We just had to put out a refresh for that. And, of course, once we got started on that, and for a change, we were a bit ahead of schedule on that. We, mm-hmm. you get ambitious. And so we did a few new things with this one. First of all, we've updated some of the implementation work to match our product plans better.
Okay.
Secondly, which is probably most interesting, is that we're now putting out bits to work with the phone, with Windows
Phone
7.
Nice.
So... this is one of the places where you're sort of in a silver-like world where asynchrony is not just a choice but a necessity.
Mm-hmm.
And hence, having language and framework support for nice async is really useful there. So we're hoping a bunch of people will pick it up for the phone and play with it in the phone context. And then sort of connected to that, we got a bunch of good feedback on the first CTP, but it is kind of limited by the things you can do with a CTP under the EULA we send it out with. You can't use it in a production environment. The EULA forbids that.
Okay.
And so we actually worked this time to change the EULA so you can use the new CTP in a production environment.
Nice.
It allows you to do so. It is without any kind of promise from our side, right? So we do not support you at all. It is still CDP quality, so it may erase all your hard drives and that's your problem or whatever.
Mm.
But we found that would, for us, CTP is about not just about communicating new ideas, but also getting something back the other way. And to raise the level of that and to get people's experiences using it in production environment, in their phone apps or wherever, and actually being able to go all the way to the App Store with it if they want to take that risk. or at least using it in their normal production environment, even if just for test driving it.
Mm.
That is the kind of thing that we felt could give us that much better feedback.
Sure.
And we want to make it clear this time around that, of course, this is for phone as well. We were kind of skipping that last time because phone was all new and we weren't sure about the timelines and so on, but that's a story for the phone as well. So
excellent.
That's important for us to get out there and get people trying.
So, we're gonna dig into the implementation details to some degree about getting it to work on the phone, but I want to ask you right off the bat, what were some of the challenges? Because Windows Phone is not really Windows per se, right? It's Windows CE. It's a different underlying operating system. It's a different version of the CLR. It's the, So were there any things that you guys had to do in your compiler or your... Like any special things, or was it really easy to get it to work on the phone?
It was actually relatively easy, at least to the CTP quality.
Okay.
I mean, all the abstraction from the differences is already done in the framework, pretty much. Yes, it's the it's a compact framework that it's built on, but we had the levers we needed. Other people have done such a great job making it a similar platform to Silverlight and to some degree to the desktop.
Yeah,
that it's really a small job to move things across. Now, of course, we have a few samples in there now that are for the phone, and working with the UI is a little different, but not that much. Right? And I know you'll be talking to some other people, and they'll probably show you examples of some of the phone code as well.
Cool.
It was really a surprisingly easy job, and there were folks in phone land who were very excited about this as well, of course, providing a better developer story for phone folks. That contributed some work to the samples. They had samples already that we could make nicer with async and so on.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
That you'll see in there.
Excellent, man. Now, you guys, we came out pretty big with this. I mean, you announced it at PDC 10.
Yeah.
A lot of excitement, a lot of interest. Very highly simplified model for writing sequential code that looks sequential but actually is doing things asynchronously. Anyway, that's the name. So I would ask you, what's like the most common feedback you got? Because I remember there were some threads about wanting to use these keywords. We don't have to go into that, but How about usage scenarios and, you know, was it working for people? And give me the feedback.
Right. So, I mean, first of all, the overall feedback has been, I mean, the single most common thing we've heard is, when can I get it? Which is always the kind of feedback you
want. That's awesome.
So definitely there's been a strong affirmation that we were on the right path with this. We were doing things the right way. People were discussing the keywords a little bit, but no one, that's kind of bike shedding.
Yeah.
No one was really upset about them. It's more like, you know, a matter of taste. And so overall, we got the feedback that this is totally the right direction. Give it to us. And for us, well, there's been some feedback in the details. Could you do this differently, that differently? How about this scenario, that scenario? Some of which has led to not actually to changes in the language design, but to some implementation changes in the compiler, in the task types a little bit, mm-hmm. To optimize for certain scenarios. Also made it very clear to us that, which we were sort of on the path to, but has sort of emphasized more how important it is that we don't just give you a new infrastructure for doing asynchronous programming, but we have to follow through with the massive advancement of the frameworks. Mm. So what the CTP does, also the second one, is only to wrap existing asynchronous functionality that's already in the .NET 4 framework. But there's actually a ton of work going on across different parts of the framework and other places to provide new asynchronous functionality now that it will become available at such a low cost of barrier to entry for folks out there. So you see work in databases, in SQL land, and ASP.NET land, and so on, to put weight behind the mechanism in a big way. So that's something I'm excited about, and that was really clear from the feedback you get. This and that asynchronous functionality, then what good is it for me, you know, for my scenarios? And we're following up on that a lot. That won't be visible in the CTP at all. That'll only be, you know, whenever we get to beta time frames or whatever.
Sure.
Sometime out in the future.
Excellent. Well, I mean, since you're the language PM, I mean, you're Anders' right-hand man. So from a language design perspective, it seems like, since this is CTP 2, and if CTP 1 has shown from real-world usage and feedback that perhaps it wasn't the best design, which you weren't sure of up front, you wanted to get it into real developers' hands, ones in the outside world, it looks like it was the right design.
Yes.
So congratulations.
Thanks. I mean,
that's also a very interesting story here.
It is. No, that's great. And I think, you know, it's important to realize that it was the first CTP of something to go into a major programming language with this kind of stuff, but it still rests on a lot of existing work. A lot of people don't realize how many existing technologies we actually build on and how many things both out there and internally to Microsoft we rested on when we did that design. So it wasn't a shot in the dark. At all. Maybe I should mention a few things. Like, first of all,
yes.
F# has gone, they've gone in front in a big way. The F# that's out there with Visual Studio 2010 is async enabled itself with a somewhat different model, but it sort of pioneered into the developer space the idea of having language features that cater to asynchrony and showed that was something people got excited about. So we kind of knew, hey, people do get excited about this kind of stuff. It does help. We had internal projects like Axum,
yep,
which was also publicly released in a CTP, which was a programming language for coordinating asynchronous stuff. And Axum itself is not on a product track right now, but it generated an enormous amount of great stuff. One of them being actually the implementation technique we use in C# and VBE to implement the language feature itself was heavily, heavily influenced by the Axum work and
nice.
Some of the innovations done there. And some of the advanced stuff that they do that are not entrenched in the async feature itself were turned into libraries and will be shipped as the data flow library, which is also part of the CTP, actually.
Great.
In a CTP version.
Sure.
So so that was another big inspiration. Then we also know that the iterators in C# have been used to as sort of a poor man's async feature for a long time, and a couple of people have pioneered this, but I especially want to mention Jeffrey Richter's async enumerator pattern and library that has been out there for a couple of years, and people really swear by. We got that. That again helped us. You know, if people want to go through the extra contortions it takes to twist iterators to do this, and they still think that's a benefit, then that really told us that the gains we could get by moving all the way from current state of the art to a dedicated language feature would be huge. Right? People are willing to take a significant hit in complexity and sort of localized complexity just to get the structure of their code right and using iterators there. And Jeff did a great job sort of identifying scenarios and helped us actually in the design phase. Did a survey amongst his users of async enumerator, you know, how many uses for client, how many uses for server, what are your motivations for it, and so on. We mined a whole lot of data that he gave us to help target this and to help get to the right scenarios. I should also mention, so there's a long list of shoulders we're resting on here. RX,
yes.
Reactive Framework, was sort of the last, I think, of the four major influences here, which is an out-of-band technology that we released for both .NET and native and JavaScript. Eric Meyer is the big driver of that, and most people probably know.
Yeah.
And RX is kind
and
of...
And Wes Dyer, specifically.
Wes Dyer now is very strongly in there.
Bart DeSmet.
And, yes, cool Sorry. Guys. And so... Eric was actually a big contributor to the async design as well.
Cool.
And we worked closely with them on their, you know, their experiences with something that's also asynchronous, and also on getting alignment between those two technologies, so they can focus on the sort of advanced event stream coordination, but still work well with the bread and butter async that we're providing.
Excellent. And yeah, I mean. The feedback we've gotten on Channel 9 specifically has been precisely ship it.
Yes.
So people are going to be very happy that they can use this. And to be clear, you don't condone, which means, well, you know what that means, but let me say it in a different way. It's not as though because the new EULA says you can put this into shipping code that we want you to, because it could very well be. You guys are writing a new compiler. We had that conversation with Eric Lippert, which will show up on Channel 9 before this goes out. And so people will have watched that and understand what's going on there. You know, at least the stuff that they can talk about. So, you know, come on. Things could change. Things could
Absolutely.
Get better.
You know, this is a CTP. Nothing has changed in that sense. And that means, it means a couple of things. First of all, it means there are no promises that we will ever ship any technology remotely similar to this. Okay. It's clear, I think, to everyone that that is our intention.
Yeah.
But no promises about support. Mm-hmm. And in particular, you know, this is a CTP that is built on Visual Studio 2010 and .NET 4.0. There are plenty of things in there that aren't the way they will be. I can promise that this is not the way it will look when you get the real bits. And so people are really going out on a limb. If they actually, like, if they ship code with this, I don't think we prevent it unless you're building nuclear power plants or something like that. But if you do, then you're really going out on a limb. Like I'll be kind of happy if people try it out in an inconspicuous corner of their production environment, which they were prohibited from before, and give us some feedback based on that. But I would think twice or three times before I ship anything based on it. Both because of the risks involved in using CTP software and because of the risk of us changing things.
Sure.
So, now that should be clear.
The question I will ask then from the peanut gallery is, I mean, in some sense, if the CTP2 contains a new EULA, performance enhancements, maybe some security fixes, I don't know what exactly was done. Seems like a QFE kind of thing, plus performance and stuff that you've done, stuff we're going to dig into with Lucien and Steven. The question I would ask you is, you know, why not slap in something else? And people might have said, can I use a different keyword or maybe yield return or whatever. I mean, why not just slap that in and go, okay, you asked for it. Does this work for you? And I know that's insane because they'll never get you to the end game. What you've proven is that your pattern works and you've made it better, I mean, for in the lower levels. But there's nothing new in this CTP, except, of course, that it runs on the phone.
Phone, I think.
Awesome.
It's pretty darn awesome. That is new.
Yes.
And
but I was only talking about the actual language semantics.
Yeah. But you know what? We were so unfortunate we had it right the first time. There's nothing to add and nothing to take away from from that part of it, honestly.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, there's so the underlying pattern, the things that the compiler translates into, the interaction between, if you will, the compiler and the framework, the task types and so on, did change. Mm. And we decided to put that change into the CTP, even though the previous one worked just fine on the surface. Mm. This enables people who are sort of advanced, to want to play with writing their own awaitable things other than tasks and stuff like that, to do it based on our best guess at where this will end up in production. Right?
Cool.
And that has changed along the way in ways that allow us to be more performant and that allow people a little more wiggle room in what they do if they implement their own awaiters. Mm. So there's new stuff there, but it's really hidden from ordinary use. It's for people who think, you know, I can do better than a task type. I can do better than a task parallel library or, you know, no, that's, I'm kidding.
But those people are out there.
They are. And yeah. So there are people out there like John Skeet. Hi, John. Mm. I know you'll be the first one to click on this.
Yeah.
who will immediately pull it apart and say, oh, they removed this, but okay, they added this or whatever. at the very deepest,
right,
earliest levels.
Okay.
I should also say one of the other samples that we put in there, like samples in a CTP have a slightly different purpose than samples in production code. In production code, they're all about teaching you how to use the stuff. Right? It's showing you the patterns of usage, and we have some of those in there to illustrate what we think is the right pattern of usage, so people can give us crap when we when we're wrong about it. But there's also putting some things out there that are half-baked that are our thinking about how you may approach some problems. One of the things that you have to realize is when we put out the first CTP, we had very few thoughts about things beyond the language and framework level. We had basic IDE support in the CTP, we still do, but we didn't have thoughts about debugging, about unit testing, about all these other things that are sort of downstream from the language but really important. Mm. And we're starting now to flesh out those stories and not just flesh out, we're working on them on the production side of them. We couldn't really put anything around debugging into the CTP because we're not shipping a new Visual Studio.
Mm-hmm.
But we did put a little in there to sort of start to address the unit testing problem. Mm-hmm. How do you unit test asynchronous functionality? That's a pretty interesting question. Mm-hmm. You can't just call a method and when it returns see whether, you know, it had the right result. Like an asynchronous method, the way it runs depends on what kind of context you call it in. Are you calling it on the UI, in a UI context or a multi-threaded thread pool context or whatever? And how can you unit test something like that in an environment that is sufficiently similar to where it's supposed to run?
Mm.
And how can you stress test it by putting an environment in environments that are sufficiently different from what you initially intended it for? So we've just sort of started to scratch the surface a little, and there's a sample in there that just, you know, gives you a few ways of running code in a particular context without spinning up a full WPF app or whatever for a single unit test. So things like that to just start getting a dialogue through code with the community about, is this the kind of thing that would help you unit test your asynchronous code? Because we don't know. This is uncharted territory, and we're trying to find out, we're trying to get a dialogue that's a little deeper than just talking, mm-hmm. and that's about code and artifacts at that level as well.
Did you add any instrumentation, any sort of telemetry stuff in the CTP that will send you guys automatic information?
No, I don't think we did.
Okay.
Not that I know of.
Sure.
the secret telemetry system.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
I'm just kidding.
May, if it comes up saying, please send my, you know, the usual checkbox, send Microsoft information about your experience, then that might indicate that we did after all. But I'm not aware that we're tracking anything in particular. I think, I mean, of course we track how many downloads and that kind of thing, like how many succeed installing and all that. Mm-hmm. But beyond that. About the installation, I should say. And you may get more detail about that from some of the other interviews, but there were some limitations in the first one. You couldn't install on top of the Express SKU, and you couldn't install if you had non-US versions of Visual Studio.
Okay.
It just wouldn't work. So essentially you had to have a paid-for version of Visual Studio in US English.
And to try a CTP.
To try the CTP. And those were unreasonable. I mean, they didn't really mean anything other than, you know, we were a little rushed at the end and we didn't, the test matrix and the setup authoring and so on. Mm. So we went back and fixed that. Now you can, it's still all in English. It's not localized or anything fancy like that. It is a CTP. But now you can do it on Japanese or French built or whatever and on the Express SKU, which I think is really important because a lot of people, so professional developers out there, great first line of defense and great audience for the first CTP, but a lot of people don't actually write C# or VB for a living, but they're interested in languages, and they're, maybe they're polyglots, or they're in academics, or students, or whatever, and they have or are willing to get an Express SKU of C# free and of Visual Basic and just play with things. And so reaching broader that way, and of course reaching on non-US market better as well, that's important for us. It was kind of silly we didn't get to that in the first time. We just, you know, so many things had to come together, and so we fixed that now.
Awesome. You know, and I think that's probably one of the greatest news items of the day, personally.
Maybe, yeah, yeah.
I mean, I think it's awesome. Get it into more people's hands.
Yeah, and for phone, obviously, Express is huge, right?
So, obviously, absolutely.
So that's another thing that I think should help a lot of people get to play with it. We want those Java programmers out there to try it out.
So Java doesn't have anything similar to this?
Well, no. No one really does, right? No.
Yeah. It's really interesting stuff. And the last question I would ask you is, I mean, you actually read through a lot of the feedback that you get. You know, Mads does spend time on the forums, believe it or not.
Yeah, a little.
A little bit. Most of the time you're, you know, writing C# specs and focusing on the way feature of the language, which we're not going to be able to talk about for ages. But what were some feedback that surprised you? You're like, what? This person was trying to use it this way? Or what? We didn't think about that scenario? Do you have any of those moments?
Let me see. I think there were a few. I think the, I mean, the most, so in the crazier vein, there were people like, you know, I'd like a few more hooks in there because I'm going to use this for aspect-oriented programming through the back door, right? And, I mean, you can imagine that. So you have the await expression, and you can await anything that has the right pattern, right? So you could build your own sort of aspect provider thingies that whenever you await one of those, it's not all at all about asynchrony. It's just a way of hooking in library code at certain places, right? Mm. So those were like, hey, we didn't think of that, but I guess you could. But we're not going to give you those extra hooks because that's not what this is for. So people are, that's always the risk. Link was the same way. Mm. You know, you let people essentially tailor with libraries or with their own code, tailor the behavior of the language. That's what Link does by translating into a certain pattern of method calls, and we do the same here. Like, people can build their own awaitables, and we will gladly call into their methods from compiler-generated code, and if they do weird stuff, then that weird stuff happens. Mm. So it's a way of plugging the language, and whenever you have that, you have people who want to abuse that. And it's always entertaining to see and absolutely lovely to see the ways people abuse that, abuse a new feature. That's one of my great pleasures, is to see things getting twisted that way. You know,
awesome.
It's really awesome. It's, you know.
So abuse those new features, people.
Yeah, but please also use them according of to course. Intention, just a little bit, because that's where, you know, the big pull is.
So you want to make a call out to your web servers to get some data, and you want to do something else in your UI. at the same time and not block.
Oh, yeah.
This is no brain.
Absolutely.
This is a very simple methodology.
Yes. Yes. So use this, play with this, get ready for it, but also remember it's a CTP.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to erase your hard drive if you're not careful. Take down your database.
Right on, man. Hey, thanks for taking the time to do this. I know you're super busy.
Thanks for coming.
Hey, I'm always. And download the CTP, my friends. And really cool to see that your first at bat with this model seems to be a home run. So
looks like it.
Yeah, congratulations to everybody on the team.
Thanks.
Cheers.